Classic Business with Michael Avery, sponsored by Alex Forbes, for insight, advice, and impact.
Well, taking on the role of a financial advisor provides a range of opportunities that are available, I think, in very few career fields. Successful financial advisors offer valuable advice to their clients, and in return, you get virtually unlimited earning potential, you get a flexible work schedule, and your choice of professional specializations. But the career also has drawbacks. It takes considerable time and effort to build a client base and steady attention to meet all the regulatory requirements of the field. And it's a very high-stress job in the best of times, particularly when markets have been down as they have this year. Well, I'm sure my next guest can attest to all of this, having just been awarded the Financial Planner of the Year Award by the Financial Planning Institute, the FPI, which is the industry's professional body. Palesa Dube, founder and director of Wealth Creed, welcome to Classic Business, and chapeau. What does this sort of recognition mean to you?
Michael, it really is such an honor. You know, I entered, if you speak to any of the previous winners, they tell you that, you know, they had to enter a couple of times to ultimately make it. So to try my hand at it the first time and to have this kind of outcome is something absolutely beyond my expectations, for which I'm really, really honored. So it's a fantastic affirmation, recognition of what we do as a business, and I guess where I have come or how far I've come professionally.
Yeah, and I mean, you started your career at Citadel in the early 2000s. What were your expectations back then? If you look back through the lens of time, and obviously hindsight is 2020, were your expectations vastly different to where you sit now today?
I went into this career completely blind. I mean, I was a young graduate with a BCom investment management degree, and my understanding was that, you know, it would open up the world. But financial planning, particularly in those days, was really a very young, emerging profession, not much known about it, coming from a history that was, you know, not so stellar, particularly from a client's perspective. So my expectations were very low, but as soon as I, you know, started getting my feet wet and understanding what true financial planning and wealth management is about and the type of, you know, impact that it can have on families, I was hooked. I love what I do. I love coming to the office on a daily basis and helping clients as we do. And that's why I've stuck around for the past 18 years.
You mentioned that time in the industry's history where I think there was a lot of mis-selling. There was a lot of misalignment, incentives to sell particular products that weren't really the right solution. And we've seen an evolution. A lot of that has been regulatory driven. I think much of it's been driven internally by the industry to realize that you have to professionalize. What do you think have been the biggest changes over the span of the last 20 years that you've been practicing?
Well, I came in right at the beginning. I mean, the talk at the time was exactly what you're talking about, to say, you know, the industry needs to move from a product-led to more of an advice-led type of solutioning. And at the time, as a young graduate, we needed to be mentored by, you know, people that were used to selling product and what have you. So to now convince them to say, here's a young person, please mentor them into a world that they, you know, that was also new to them, was a bit of an ask. I think the Financial Planning Institute has done fantastic work over the last two decades or so. Financial planning is very, very different and distinct from product selling. Our starting point is to understand what the client wants to achieve in the long term. What is important to them? Who is important to them? What sort of issues do they want to, you know, put solutions in place for? What are they worried about? Are they concerned about not being around, you know, to raise their young children? Are they worried about providing sufficiently for their retirement and so forth? Are there specific risks that they want to protect themselves and their families against? And so with that understanding and equipped with, you know, a knowledge of what's important to those individuals, we then use the products that are out there to solution for those issues. So our profession has come a long way, and that is one of the major objectives of the FPI. We want to make it easy for people to know, you know, when I do have a financial planning issue, who do I go to? what can I expect from a certified financial planner or any member of the FPI? And so that's why it's important to professionalize, to regularize who can use the title of a financial planner. And I think the work that they've done over the past two decades is commendable, but we're not entirely there yet.
And obviously a big conversation within all of that is having a fee conversation. Do you charge an hourly rate? Do you charge a percentage of the assets and you're managing for the client? I think there was obviously a great deal of concern around regulatory changes that might lead to some kind of advice gap if you go too far in one particular direction. Because ultimately you've got to be a sustainable small business in your own right as well. What is your view on where fees are going, and how do you like to have this conversation with your clients?
Obviously, you know, that's one that's always very sticky, but I think the golden principle here, any of us will pay for something that we value, right? You want to see, well, how is this interaction with the financial planner adding value to my life? And if I really think that, you know, I've been heard, I see why it's important to engage with this person, often people are willing to, you know, pay a certain fee for that. So I think there's got to be a direct alignment to, you know, the value that's being added, the service that's being provided. Yes, you're correct. I mean, if you go out there, there are different fee models that advisors use. We like to be flexible in the sense that, you know, we are quite open with what we charge our clients. We will charge our clients a structuring fee, for example, where we've put together a wealth plan for them that is scenario-based, that talks to what happens on their demise, what are the taxes that are due, what provisions do they need to have in place. We will look at a disability scenario, for example. What happens when you can't go to work tomorrow? Do you have, you know, sufficient provisions as a contingency to be able to make sure that you and your family can continue living the standard of living that you've become accustomed to? So, you know, it's a well-rounded, well-thought-out plan that we put in place for our clients. And when you start customizing planning in that way, and an individual can see that, well, you know what, I'm walking away from this interaction and I know that my family is well provided for. It wasn't just a product push, but I needed product X, Y, and Z. I think it makes the fee conversation much easier when people understand exactly what it is that they're paying for.
Yeah, I always liken it to, you know, quibbling over a doctor's fee, for example, and how you know, we hardly ever do that. And we take our health very seriously, but our financial well-being is inextricably interlinked into our physical well-being, our health and wellness, financial wellness. They're all part of the same package. And so we should be willing to at least pay a fee that is commensurate with that kind of value that someone can bring to the table for you. And why I've really been encouraged by the evolution that we have seen in the industry, from a culture of hard selling to a recognized professional, I think can only be a good thing. My question to you as we reach the end of our time, Palesa, sadly, is around the future and where you see the future advisors coming from. Do you see a supply of advisors out there? Is this a profession that people want to get involved in? And particularly black female advisors are very rare. I don't have many on my contact list, and it's not for lack of trying. So there's a lot of work that has to be done. And I think, you know, you clearly, you know, are carrying some of that on your shoulders as well to show people that this is a path.
I think that's why this is such a pivotal moment. Number one, being a female, getting this award. And secondly, being a black female. I think it talks a lot to transformation of the industry. But importantly, as you say, you know, it can be a reference point to those young ones that are looking at the different career alternatives out there. Now they can look to someone that looks like them, that comes from a community similar to theirs, and they can have a reference point to say, well, you know, actually, you know, I can also do that. I can build a private wealth management firm and be successful as well. You're correct. The numbers, particularly for females in our industry, is not at a level that we're happy with. I think the picture has changed a lot from when I started in the industry. In fact, that's how I met my partner then a couple of years ago. It was, you know, she saw a speck at the end of the room. She made her way, you know, across and said, listen, there's a few of us around here, and so you and I have to know each other. I think we've come a long way. I think the statistic at the moment is about there's less than 30% of females that are CFP designated professionals that are females. So certainly that's a number that we would like to see improve. And that's part of the work that I'm going to be embarking on with the FPI to carry that message to say that this is a viable profession. It's one that allows you to pursue other interests if you want to be raising children and what have you. It gives you that kind of flexibility.
Exactly. And why I mentioned that right up front, it's certainly a career path that I'll be nudging my two daughters into in the not too distant future. But Palesa, great pleasure chatting to you again. Congratulations on picking up this year's Financial Planner of the Year Award, which is awarded by the Financial Planning Institute, the highest accolade in your profession and thoroughly, thoroughly well deserved. The founder and director of Wealth Creed. Thanks so much for your time.
Thanks for the opportunity, Michael.
Classic Business with Michael Avery, sponsored by Alex Forbes, for insight, advice, and impact.